His grace really does reach us. I hope you believe that this morning. I really hope you believe that the grace of God reaches you. I love the Lord, don't you? He has been so good to us in so many, many ways. I don't know about you, but I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over again. You know, this is going to surprise you, I'm sure, but I've been told a few times that I need to watch what I say. I need to watch my mouth. I think you told me that a few times. Better watch your mouth, boy. No, she probably didn't say boy, but she said you better watch your mouth. I think we can all relate to that, can't we? Whether we're young and we're just saying things we shouldn't, maybe being disrespectful and not even realize it, maybe we just, in one of those moments, somebody says something and we kind of spout off, as we'll say, or we'll just throw it out there, and we, after upon reflection, go, what did I just say to that person, you know? And maybe we feel a little bit guilty, and we've all been there. We've had those moments. Last week, I talked about our platforms and how God has given us a platform with our lives, our Christian platform. And God wants us to honor and bring glory to Him on those platforms. Remember, we said Jesus had a platform when He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto myself." And so we say, well, how has He continued to draw today? Well, He draws through us as we lift them up on our platforms in our lives. And we said one of the ways that we do that is by our words. Churches, we go back over and over again in the Scriptures, we realize how important the words are that we speak, because what comes out of our mouth is what flows from our heart. We're pouring out of our heart, and whatever's in our heart is what we put there. I want to share with you this morning a five-letter word Jesus never spoke. And I think this is going to surprise you, and I want you to challenge me. I've done some study this week, and I think I'm correct in this, otherwise I wouldn't say this, but I want to challenge you to go to the Scriptures and look at the ministry of Jesus' life. And one word that you will not hear Him speak, as far as I can tell, is the word grace. I want you to go back, and I want you to make sure that I'm correct in that statement. I think I am, otherwise I wouldn't say it. The five-letter word that Jesus never spoke was grace. And I thought about that this week. Why? If that is so important to us, it's everything to us. It's, as the song says, that part of Jesus that reaches us. Why we're here today. Why did He not utter those words, or the word grace, as we use the word grace, as we listen to Paul use the word grace? And what I come up with is the fact that He just embodied it. He was it. Jesus was grace. When John said in the first chapter of John, the Gospel, he says, "And the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized or revealed through Jesus." Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, of course, that's the context of the motivation of giving there. But he uses grace. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." You know, sometimes, and I remember this back in school, and I'm not just saying here in our body, but I know that there are times when teachers and preachers are accused of either talking about a topic too much. We say, well, he's got a topic. He always talks about, I'll just throw it out there, evolution. Or he always talks about this and he never talks about that. And grace is one of those topics. On one side, somebody will say, well, all that group does is talk about grace. Which, I don't have a problem with that, really, when you look at grace. All they do is talk about grace. And the other side says, they never say anything about grace. Maybe they don't. But do they proclaim the crucified, resurrected Jesus Christ and what that means? And if they do, they are preaching grace. They are teaching grace. Just because they don't utter the words G-R-A-C-E doesn't mean it's not grace. For as far as I can tell, Jesus didn't utter those words in his ministry. I want to talk about that five-letter word this morning. Jesus never spoke. And I don't know how many lessons I'm going to do. I'll leave that open. But I want to present a few lessons on the topic of grace. And I want to start with Acts chapter 20. Turn your Bibles to Acts 20. You know this, Paul's farewell address. Try to get the emotion in the background. Don't just read the words without realizing Paul is near the end. Paul knows that. Paul is in his latter years. And he is from Miletus. He was sent to Ephesus. He called to him the elders of the church. Talked about with tears how he taught and how he served from house to house. How he testified about God. He proclaimed the whole counsel of God. Verse 22, and now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testified to me in every city, saying, Paul, bonds and afflictions await you. Didn't say that, but Paul says, he testifies, bonds and afflictions await me. Suffering. This is my lot. This is what I'm looking forward to. But I do not, verse 24, consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish the course, or my course. So Paul said, for me to finish my course, I can't count my life as dear to me. Not that Paul didn't care about himself. Not that Paul didn't care at all about his life. He knows there's something of far greater importance. He says, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. What does Paul solemnly testify? You know, a lot of times we hear of the gospel, right? We hear the gospel of God. Paul says it here. But notice, I find it interesting that Paul uses the phrase, the gospel of God. It is the gospel, or gospel of grace. It's the gospel of grace, and it's the gospel of God. It's not two different gospels. We know that. But he calls the good news, that's what gospel is, right? Or the gospel, the evangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ. He calls it the gospel of grace. And Paul says, that is what I proclaim. That is what I testify. Remember in Romans 1:16, Paul said that as he goes into Rome, that great city of power where Caesar is Lord and most powerful of all people, really, of that day and age. And he comes into the city of Rome, and Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For he says, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. God's faithful promise to you and to the world was seen in that moment on Calvary, on the cross. The gospel. And that was the gospel of grace. And that's no different than Paul's message in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, for it's not of yourselves, right, that anyone should boast. It's not our own work. It's God's. It is the gospel of God. And to me what stands out there is that it is not the gospel of man. It's God's gospel. It is what God has done for man, not what man has done to God. Grace, the gospel of grace, or grace does not pick up where we left off. That's why John said, "For we love because He loved." It's not because you love. The reason you love, church, and you're here today, and you're trying to grow in that love and are, is because He loved you first. 2 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. I really appreciate everything in this service that has been said, and how during the Lord's Supper, Troy brought out this idea of reconciliation. Brethren, that's God's work. That's what He has done. And sometimes I can forget that when I come here, like I'm doing anything. It's His work. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ," are you in Christ? You came to Him by faith. It's all grace, right? You came to Him by faith. You were baptized into Christ Jesus, that new creation. And he even says, notice, He is a new creature. And the old things have passed away. Your old life, your old man and woman, it's gone. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from yourself, right? No, all these things are from God, who reconciles us to Himself through Christ. Reconciled is, you can say it's peace, making peace again, making friends again. You were enemies once. Now you're brought together in the right relationship. It's restored. You're reconciled. God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul says that's what we minister. We do the same thing. We reconcile man to God. Namely, verse 19, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world to Himself, or through Christ, as some translations may say, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Notice all in here, Paul says, this is the working of God. You as a new creation is God's work. I have to tell you, this is not a gospel of half price either. This is a gospel of full price. The gospel of grace, the grace of God, is a gospel of full price. Let me illustrate it this way. As kids, when we're young, we want a bicycle. We go to mom and dad and we say, "Mom and dad, I want a bicycle." "Well, how much does it cost?" "It costs $100. Dad or mom says, "Well, I want you to pay for half." You save up half of your money. You mow lawns, you do the dishes and all the other chores you're supposed to do, right? Clean your room. Right, that's not ever going to happen. But you clean your room and you get an allowance and you save up $50. You're halfway there. And mom and dad come in and they put $50 down and they get you that brand new bike that you wanted. But that's not an illustration of grace, the gospel of God. You see, family, Jesus Christ either took it all, took care of it all, or He didn't take care of any of it. Grace either is taking it all or it's taking none. We don't sing, "Jesus paid it partially, we paid 40% and He paid 60%, or if you're really good, you paid 70% and He paid the 30%. We don't do that. It doesn't work that way. He either paid it all or He didn't pay it all. And I think we've seen Jesus paid it all, and because of that, that's our motivation, isn't it? All to Him I owe. I owe Him everything. I don't give Him all that I should, but grace? There's nothing like grace. Go back to 1 Corinthians, and Paul, he's the preacher of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I like to quiz the kids on the gospel because I think this is important, mom and dads. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, Paul in a simple way tells us, now we know the gospel is unfathomable, the depths and the riches of it. We may know a lot of it, but we don't know it all. We know what we need to and we can know more, but simply put, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us what the gospel is. He says, this is what I preach, this is what you're saved by, this is what you stand in and on. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised, and He appeared. That's it. He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, and then he appeared to Peter and James and the others. And then Paul says, he appears to me, verse 9, chapter 15, for I am the least of the apostles. Paul the least? I love Paul. Man, I learn from Paul. He says, who am not fit to be called. Can you read that with a dry eye, Paul saying, I'm not fit to be called an apostle? Why, Paul, not fit to be an apostle? Because I persecuted the church of God. I killed Christians, those that are my brethren. I persecuted, I locked them up. I stood by as some were stoned to death. Large rocks were rolled over him. That was the idea of stoning back then, not picking up a boulder the size of a baseball and throwing it. It was rolling a huge, massive boulder that would crush you in an instant. Paul stood by for that kind of stuff. He'd even hold the coat of somebody involved in it. But grace got him. On the road to Damascus, what do you suppose that was that reached Paul? Grace. It was Christ, the resurrected Jesus. Notice verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, I want you to catch this. Don't miss this. Because a lot of people hear about grace and they say, man, you know, we get into this works, faith works things. We get into this, well, you're working. You don't have to work for anything or do anything. But listen, in the same verse, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored. But I labored. I worked. But notice what Paul says. He says, I labored even more than them, but that wasn't what it was about. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You know how we say, what is it that motivates you? Why do you do what you do? This is it. You labor because of the grace of God. And you know what? Grace, the more I understand, the more I want to labor more. I want to labor more. Listen, brethren, grace is not, you don't work to grace. Hear me out here. You don't work to grace. You work from grace. Peter said, but grow in the grace. He didn't say, grow to grace. Some of us, we're trying to grow to grace. You can't grow to grace. You grow in grace and from grace. And the more you grow in it, the more you understand, the more you have, the more you are, the more you labor. That's what grace does. It's a powerful thing. I think that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ, Paul says, controls us. Controls us. Someone asked me, I've been asked before why I preach, especially some people that knew me way, way back when. And you know, how do you answer that? People aren't going to understand if they're not Christians. But you know, one of the things I can always go back to is this. But brethren, if God gives us the opportunity to let somebody know about the grace that He has given in your life and what He has offered to the whole entire world, including them, that's the least I could do is get up and speak about it. Now, I want to be able to live it better. But if He gives me the opportunity to say something about it, I'm going to use the opportunity. It's the grace of God in me, as little as I might be. I tell people, look, if you ever see anything good that I do, it's because of Christ. All the other stuff, blame on me. But any good that we do, it's because of the grace of God. It's what we desperately need and what we obviously don't deserve. We've heard that one. I like old Charles Hodge, an old-timey preacher who once said the church, and others have said it, the church is not a hotel for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. Don't ever forget when you come here, it's not just for us church to be our hotel where we bask and have fun and fellowship. It is a hospital for those who truly need it. Who did Jesus come and call? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I come to call sinners. And I don't think he was just saying those who use their mouths improperly, you know, which would include everybody. We're talking some bad people. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. Look, it's not those that are healthy that need a physician. It's those who are sick. You go to the doctor because you need some help. You go to Christ because you need some help. And it's only those that are sick that can have Him. Only those who are sick that can have Him. One other verse, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Five-letter word Jesus never spoke. Some of you are going to go look up that this morning, I'm sure, later this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 3. We know Ephesians is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and he writes that the church may understand that their satisfaction and happiness is in the family of fellowship in Christ. And he talks about how blessed we are because of what God has done once again. And chapter 3 is that mystery. Paul refers to a mystery, verse 3 of chapter 3, that by the revelation that was made known to me, Paul says, the mystery, as I wrote to you in brief. Galatians chapter 1, 12, we'll share that he got it from God. What is this mystery? We'll find out that it's Christ. Now, Christ was understood to a certain degree of times past, but it wasn't fully revealed. Paul is saying he now has been fully revealed. It's like a good old mystery book. Those of you like mysteries, you open it up, you don't know what it's about, you read it. When you get to the end, I understand it now. It's not like the gospel is mysterious. It just wasn't known fully. And Paul says it has now fully been made known. Verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations, verse 5, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles, prophets in the Spirit. Spirit's the revealer, right? No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, 1 Peter 1, right? He's the revealer. What did He reveal? Verse 6, to be specific. Gentiles are fellow heirs, the nations, and fellow members of the body, that's of Christ, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which Paul said, I was a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power, to me the very least of all saints. This grace was given, catch this, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace was given to preach. We know Paul's the one that said, look, this was God's plan before the world ever was. Which means before any evil of the human being or the human life had taken place, God had prepared this grace. I don't know what that means to you, but it means a whole lot to me. That God would see us in our sickness. The evil that would put His innocent Son on the cross, and that would be part of His plan, because He loved us. He loved me. Even in spite of seeing my sin, the unfathomable riches. Grace, the thought out plan of God. 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And if that's Jesus, that's grace too. Grace is the five-letter word I think He never spoke. It's God's gift paid in full, not half price. It is what motivates us. It motivated Paul. It's to motivate us. And it's God's thought-out plan of action before there was even time. We sing Amazing Grace, don't we? What's so amazing about grace? You think about that today. What is really so amazing about grace? I have to ask you this morning, do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Because the same Paul that preached the gospel of grace, that talked about you're saved by grace through faith, is the same Paul that says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you're all sons of God through faith. Where? In Christ Jesus. For all of us who have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. So He says you're all on equal plane now. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall in Christ and now establishing peace. Even Peter said all the nations are welcome to him. All colors. All people are welcome to him. And Paul says, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's offspring and you're heirs. Heirs according to promise. Grace. This morning, I hope you belong to Christ. And if you don't, what can I say? But please come to him by faith. Not so you can add membership here or give us a little more money. That's not what it's about. It's that God came for you. God came for you. And he did this for you and for me. Whatever your need is this morning, will you come? We're going to sing. Will you come as we stand?